Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth, we thank you that your presence is here with us in Jesus and through Jesus. We thank you that we know who we worship and that your presence is here with us. And nothing will be able to stop your presence being with us. If we can't sing or if we can't dance before you, still you will reside amongst your people. Our God, we praise your name here this morning. We lift you high. We declare that you are the cornerstone and who will build our life. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, we do live in days which continue to make us unsettled, I guess, and make us think about what is going on and cause us to think and pray deeply. We have a number of things going on in our world again, which are of a new nature, which we didn't foresee coming. And, you know, I just think our prayers are with South Africa at the moment, and where there is considerable unrest in amongst the pandemic. There's unrest about what has happened with the former president. And so we've got lots of people in our church who are connected to South Africa, and it's their home nation. And so we pray for that nation, and we pray for those who are with us and how it might be affecting them as well. We also pray for Germany, who's experienced significant floods at the moment, and there's quite widespread devastation through there. We pray for Afghanistan, and it seems like with the removal of US troops that that has become quite unsettled. The Taliban is quite active there, and so we are aware of that. Even things which we used to enjoy watching so much, like the Olympics, it's unsure about what's going to go on with that, and there is uncertainty around there. And then in our own nation, we are aware that there is this Delta variant of the virus, which is affecting things in so many ways. There's lots of things to consider, right? And then it affects so many things just in the way in which we live, those things that we have been relying on and who we are. And in all this, I assure you again of the hope of our gospel, that our Lord Jesus Christ ministers to us and is our sure and certain hope. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the cornerstone. He is the one on whom we stand. He is the one who gives us an assurance and sees things beyond what we can see and calls us to walk with him and rely and lean in on him. Today we're going to be talking about the presence of God further, and I hope that will journey us there to a place of deep assurance and keep shaping our lives. So let me pause, and I've got a couple other things to share, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, we come before you as your people. We come before you because we look to you. You are the one who is sovereign over all things, and you come into our world by your Spirit, and you seek to reconcile, to bring order and hope. You come with your great love to impact us, to shape us and to grow us up into you. Lord, in this moment, we do simply pause . For we know that there is nothing which separates us from you. The concerns of our heart, the worries which might be on our mind, even the things we might be looking forward to, Lord, we bring them all before you, into your presence, into the deep place. And we lay them at the foot of the cross and ask that you would come and take these burdens from us so that we might live freely and fully in the life that you have breathed life into us. We thank you, our God, that you hear the meditations of our heart, the prayers that we have, and Lord, we thank you that you act. You've shown us how you act through Jesus, who's come and dwells amongst us. Come, our God, and lead us with the way that we need, with the truths that we need to hold on to, and the life that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, just as we pause right now, there's lots of things still going on, and we hope that they're going to be able to keep on going on during these days. We have our weekend away with guys, a bunch of guys going up to Manbury Creek, and there's a bunch of activities. If you want some more information about that, contact Dwayne Harding Brown. He's our men's ministry director, and he can fill you in on what is going on with that. Have a good look at the Out of the Valley with all the different things which are going on. Also, you can download the Hope Valley Church app. That is updated with lots of the events which are going on. But also on there is a number of forms that you can use to keep on connecting in with who we are as God's people. Vitally important that we do that. There's a prayer and care form. There is a newcomers form. There's a groups form. Different ways which you can connect in. One of the things which is really good about this app is it can take you also to a daily devotion. And if you've been following through with the daily devotions, it seems like it's amazing how God uses them to put truths that you need to hear deep into your heart at the time that you need them. Okay, last week, who tuned in last week? We were talking a lot about the presence of God that Moses encountered in the tent of meeting. We're sitting in Exodus, and what we found in that teaching was that Moses used this tent of meeting to go outside the camp that the Israelites had formed on their way towards the promised land. They're at the base of Mount Sinai, and there Moses would go and encounter the very presence of God and meet with God. Very powerful. And this tent of meeting eventually became a part of what they called the tabernacle, which became really, in essence, the early temple. This was the place where God was pleased, was dwelling, and that the people would meet with him and Moses would meet with God. Now, what we've been talking about last week was how beautiful the presence of God was and how important it was for Moses to go and be in God's presence. Now, you need to understand that this moment that was happening at the base of Mount Sinai happened in a time where Moses was actually pretty narked off at the people of God, the Israelites. What had just previously happened is that Moses had been in the presence of God up on Mount Sinai and there had been given the Ten Commandments on stone tablets. Now, while he had been up on the mountain, the people had taken upon themselves to deny the God who had delivered them out of Egypt and had gone and made an idol out of human hands, a golden calf, and they had started worshipping that golden calf, something which had been made out of human hands. Now Moses comes down the mountain, sees what's going on, and in white hot fury breaks these stone tablets. And fair enough, here are these people. How could they do this? How could they deny the God who had delivered them? How could they just throw that away and then create their own God, essentially, and worship that? And Aaron, brother-in-law, had allowed this to happen. Now, Moses is angry, and so they set up this space where he can meet with the Lord and there try and work this out. God's anger finds its way out on the people in some way. Now, what happens then is that Moses is in this place where he's meeting in the presence of God and dwelling and interceding on the people's behalf. And then it says that the people are getting prepared to move on. And so the people are going to be a nomadic people. They're going to move towards going towards the promised land. Now, Moses heads back up to Mount Sinai, and there God reinscribes the stone tablets with these commands for the people of God about how they are going to live before God. And he comes down, and there they say, well, we're going to build an ark of the covenant where these tablets can be, and we're going to build a kind of a tabernacle, a place, and an altar which will gather around the tent of meeting. And in that moment, in that time, what they have just created is essentially the first temple, or kind of a mobile place of worship where the presence of God is visibly seen. And then they start to produce some rules and laws about how they can go and meet in this mobile temple, if you like. And out of that, Aaron and the Levitical line of priests are raised up. And in this, they have moments where they can bring offerings for the sins of the people before God. And there is a place within the tent of meeting called the Holy of Holies. It can only be met in once a month, and a priest can go in and take the offerings in on behalf of the people. And it is seen then still as the physical place where they see of God's presence. Now, God's presence is known more broadly, but here they see it as most evident, the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. But then it seems that only a few can go into that space. Okay, now, they're on their way to the promised land, the land of Canaan. And eventually, they conquer the land of Canaan, the Israelites, and they go into the promised land and settle in that region. And Jerusalem becomes the very key part, the city, the holy city for the people. Now, I'm going to take you through biblical history fairly quick. In the next moment, I can quickly jump 440 years like that, okay? And I've just done it for you, okay? They've got themselves established. David had started preparations for a more physical temple to be there in Jerusalem. And Solomon, in all his glory, in all his riches, goes and completes the very first temple in Jerusalem. Okay, some 440 years later. We read about it in 1 Kings chapter 3. And Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Here you can see Solomon saying, it is important, we need to start getting this temple built. He goes about doing it. Up until that time, people are still dealing with their sacrifices before God, trying to make themselves right and do it. But now it's going to be happening there in the temple. And so this we see as a beautiful temple, which is resplendent. We can read about that in the scriptures. And as the temple is built, people praise God, they declare his goodness and his steadfast love. Now, that temple exists for some time. But then what actually happens in amongst the Israelite people is that that Babylonian Empire then spreads out over that whole region. And they come into Israel and they overwhelm Jerusalem and they take over that town and that city and they destroy the temple and then they take the elite out of Israel into Babylon. And that is where we hear those words, by the rivers of Babylon, where we wept when we remembered what? Zion, our holy city. Now, there were still Israelites still back in Jerusalem and in Israel, but they had taken those who were the leaders and taken them out, and they destroyed the temple. However, by God's grace, they allowed back in, and there they start to rebuild the temple, and that is where that they call the second temple is built. And that temple lasted from 516 BCE to 70 CE, which is the common era. Now, this is what's interesting, is that there are people who remember the first temple. And in Ezra, we read about this unique dynamic where some who had remembered the first temple and all that it represented, the presence of God and what it meant for them, and then they'd seen its destruction, and then they'd gone and been in exile, lamenting the place where they used to be, and then there's this kind of joy about that they can come back, but they still remember the previous things that God had done. Listen to this from Ezra chapter 3. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was what laid. This is the second temple. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid. Though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. It's this interesting dynamic of people being together, some shouting for joy, some weeping with sadness. And we see that essence sometimes in community. Some people lamenting or longing for the days that had been. And some going, yes, it's good what God is doing and there's great joy in this. And the two can just come together in some sort of shout and exist. But here this second temple exists. Now, friends, you need to understand how important this was, because the temple represented the presence of God and it held the Holy of Holies. This God who had delivered them out of Egypt, who had led them through the wilderness, who had helped form them and be a nation, who had provided for them kings, who provided for them judges, who provided for them prophets, provided for them priests. It was everything was located in the very essence of what the temple represented. So to have that rebuilt was so important for them because the presence of God was so critical to their existence. Without the presence of God, who are we? Why do we exist? What are we here for? God has been everything for us, and everything was located in the power of that temple. Unfortunately, with that, a whole series of rules and laws had built up about what it meant to honor God and to live in God. So much so that the freedom of what God was meant to represent actually became this great weight for the people. And the temple started to lose its holiness and start to take on different aspects which weren't what it really meant for and what it needed for. Enter someone who would speak into this in such a powerful way that it would change everything forever. For there, where it seemed like God was just dwelling in a temple, came to fulfill itself in someone who was born as a humble babe. Where God says, oh, that can't just be something which has been created by human hands. It's got to be something more. And so what we see is the beautiful truth begin to unfold, that the presence of God was going to dwell in human flesh. The Word became flesh. And not only that, it would start to overcome all these laws, these rites, the abuse, and a new way was entering in to the world. Let me read this scripture to you about how even the Sabbath had been overtaken. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence? He did it, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. This is what David did. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? Listen to these words. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. You would not have put these burdens on the people. You would not let the law overtake love. But someone who is greater than the temple is here. In this moment, Jesus is starting to embody something which is so incredibly powerful, something which takes this holy nation who had defined themselves as God's people, had put all these laws, had built a temple, and then Jesus is saying, I'm going to take and I'm going to strip that all back. All the religion, all the institutions of all that, and I'm going to take this on essentially. The Jews said to him at one point, what sign do you show us for doing these things? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years, they're renovating it, to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But the scripture says, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. And when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Friends, it's incredibly powerful that the presence of God, the one who drives our worship, has such a remarkable history, builds up to this beautiful moment where it's declared that Jesus is the one who is a temple, will be broken down and raised up. It is the human body of Jesus that uniquely becomes the focal point of God becoming man, the living abode of God on earth, the fulfillment of all what the temple meant, and the center of all true worship. In this temple, the ultimate sacrifice would take place. Rather than all these offerings for the sin of the people, one would take it all on for the sins of the people in one sacrifice, once and for all. That temple would be destroyed and raised up. Friends, this is the beauty and the power, the death and burial of Jesus Christ, and what this all meant. Jesus would rise from the dead. You know, we see this displayed in the lead up to the events on the cross. Jesus, on the night that he is betrayed, is taken before the council, and there they try to trump up false testimony against him. They have all these accusations. They say this, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I'll build another not made with hands. Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Incredible moment where he takes on, even in this false testimony, truths which will impact the world. And there on the cross, Jesus, even in the last moments, is derided. It says this, and those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. They're still trying to pin this on him. They still don't get it. And in the moments when Jesus utters a loud cry and breathes his last, what we see is something unique happens, because that temple, that physical place which had been built, the thing which separated people from God by the Holy of Holies and a veil, a curtain, at the moment when Jesus breathes his last, we know it so well, we think about it on Good Friday, don't we? That curtain in the temple, that veil, is torn in two and it's broken down, and essentially the Holy of Holies is let loose on people. It's interesting that there in that moment as that curtain is broken, there's a centurion. He says, truly this man was the Son of God. Is this growing realization of who Jesus is? And that's essentially what's happened. This temple, which was the dwelling place of God, is now broken down, and Jesus is the one who fulfills all of this and is the Holy of Holies, and then in his glorious resurrection makes the presence of God so powerfully available for everyone who calls upon his name. Friends, we're designed to be in the presence of God because God has made it freely available for everyone. And here this morning, before I even kind of move on a little bit more about what the Holy Spirit does, if you sometimes wonder where it is that I bring my worship? Will you bring it to Jesus? And if you're wondering, what's the temple of my heart? What is it that I will serve and worship and know the presence of God? It is Jesus who is calling your name. When you're thinking, I want to experience more of the presence of God, you want to find that and you want to, on a search and all sorts of things want to kind of crash in and make that picture for you, your picture is complete in Jesus. He is the one who is the focus. Now, with the glorious resurrection, the promises of Jesus come true, that there would be one who comes who is the helper, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit of God raises Jesus from the dead and then is given as a gift for all people. In John 14, Jesus had made this promise. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you without a father. I will not leave you alone. I will come and be with you. And yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Friends, what we have in Jesus is the presence of God with us at all time by his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is constantly revealing more of God's love revealed in Jesus to us. And he keeps on revealing Jesus to us. And this gift is incredible. And it comes to us first in two ways. Firstly, as an individual, and then together as the people of God. What happens is that when the Holy Spirit falls upon you, when you're saved through Jesus, when you realize that the presence of God is not just out there and it starts to come within you, is that your body then actually becomes a temple in which the presence of God is able to dwell. It's interesting, 1 Corinthians 3, it says this, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, sacrifice of Jesus. So glorify God in your body. Friends, this is remarkable. It's absolutely incredible that the presence of God would actually fill you through the work of the Holy Spirit. That God is so present that he would fill you with all of who he is in Jesus. And so what we have is that in our everyday, daily life, ways in which we can tap into the presence of God because he is with us at all times, filling us afresh. But secondly, he does it when we are God's people together. And this is remarkable because sometimes we think, it would be so good if I could, what is so good that I can have Jesus with me all on my own? Wherever I am, I know that God is with me. But it's only one piece of the complete package that God has for us. For there is a uniqueness when we understand the presence of God residing amongst the people of God. And that even as individuals, we can walk with God. When we come together, there is more of what God has for us as his body, as his people. Ephesians beautifully puts this together. He says, for through him, we have both access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Friends, this is the truth. Right here, right now, or even as we meet and in proximity one to another, the very presence of the living God resides in our midst. And each of us bring what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. And here, God manifests his presence in an even more powerful way. Have you ever had the experience? Yes, I'm a devoted Christian. I kind of walk through the week and I walk with God Monday through Saturday. I do my daily devotions. I even consider God, you know, outside of that, and, you know, I can see where God's at work. But then you get here on a Sunday and you gather with God's people and you go, yep, it's true. There's something more in the gathering. It seems like God's presence is thicker. For there is something that God does when we come and be God's people. It's why sometimes it's so difficult in these times and times where we're going, can we be together or can't we? Because we know we're missing a piece if we can't gather as God's people and be the body of Christ. So God's very presence, so close that we can tap into it anytime. He fills us up and then he builds us up as God's people. You ever bought a soft drink bottle and you get that beautiful sweet liquid in it and you get it and you look at it and you go, I reckon that air gap's getting bigger between the liquid and the top of the bottle. You go, is there really, you know, 375 mils in there, or is it? They say, no, it's full, it's full. But it's not. It's not a full bottle. There's a gap, right? Now, friends, you need to understand that when it comes to the sense of that the presence of God is pleased to dwell amongst us and within us by the Holy Spirit, sometimes we say, yeah, I've been filled by the Holy Spirit, but let's be honest with you, there's a gap in your life. You go, you know what? I've only been filled, but it's here. See, the only true way that you know that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, that you've been truly deep in the presence of God, is that there is an overflow. That's when you know that it's full. That's when you know that there is more of what God has done within you. And so when the Spirit of God fills you, there should be an overflow. And we should press into the presence of God so much that there is an overflow. For that is where the presence of God is able to then flow out further into this world. God has so much for us. He's a good father. And you, friends, were designed to live in such a way in the presence of God that you would have an overflow into this world, an overflow into your family, overflow into your community, an overflow of gifts, an overflow of generosity, an overflow of living. It should be seen in the countenance of your face that you're in the presence of God. It's all been made available to us in Jesus. So a few things which I'd like you to take away this week. Number one, find your way into the presence of God that you see your heart and your mind considering him in a moment, in the minutes, in the hours. Essentially what you're doing is saying everything in life is going to be an act of worship towards my God. Consider him in that way. Secondly, grow as a worshiper by bringing an offering of praise to Jesus. Find your way into God's people. I'm going to bring an offering of praise. That's going to be my sacrifice. And in all this, take a moment to consider just how important you are to God. How great is his love that he would say, you know what? I am choosing to dwell in you. That's incredible. To think about all that biblical history, that his presence would still be willing to call to you and dwell in you. And then know that there is the power of Jesus for when we come together, for we are the body of Christ. Here the presence of God does something more. And in the overflow, we use the gifts that we have to minister to one another, to build each other up, to be this incredible space where God can manifest himself in such a beautiful and powerful way. The presence of God comes meets and fills us to overflowing. All you simply need to do is say, Lord, I come, I ask, I gaze on you, fill me once more. Let us be in prayer. Lord, it is a lot to get our minds around this incredible truth that you value us so much that you would come and meet with us and dwell in us, that even these bodies would be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then we as your people would be your body, the church. But we're so grateful because we realize that your very presence, your holiness, your majesty, your beauty, your power dwells closely. We're shaped and we're formed as we encounter you. Lord, I pray that every person who's listening in might know that you are on an all-out search to bring more of your presence into their lives. And it's not mysterious, it's been revealed to us in Jesus. And it's not something which has been built by human hands, but by the very hand of God. Lord, take us to that deep place in you. Lord, fill us afresh by your Holy Spirit. Awaken. Allow us to enter in that we might abide with you. And Lord, may it be that your glory might pass by and we would have incredible visions of who you are and might reflect the glory of God in all that we do. Lord, I pray that you don't just top us up, but you fill us to overflowing. And Lord, use us in ministry into the places that you've placed us. For we believe that even in uncertain times, you are sure of what you want to do in our world. We praise you. We lift you high. Be glorified, our God. In Jesus' name, amen.